When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hi villains, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast with Neil and Paddy. Again, we're coming to you in game week four, I think it is now. Game week three for us. And we obviously were playing against Liverpool, the champions of yesteryear or last year, are coming to play against the champions elect, I'm going to call us, because until we lose, we're an unbeaten team and we have as much of a chance of winning the league as anybody else. And we might as well think we're champions. That way, we can think it into existence. But Liverpool this weekend, Paddy, formidable opposition. We're going to talk about them later on. But how are you doing, firstly, Paddy? It's a lovely autumnal summer morning here in Galway. What's it like there in Carbery in Limerick?
Yeah, it's cold and crisp and sunny. It kind of reminds you of a Dublin airport scene as you're flying out to a game at Villa Park, and
yeah,
a little bit tinged with sadness now, I can tell you, given such a big game this weekend.
And I suppose that's actually something that we might touch on, because it's mad that you mentioned that, Paddy, because I woke up this morning and last night I actually dreamt of going over to Villa Park, and I dreamt of going over a meeting. Like, I've met so many people online on Twitter since doing the podcast and stuff, you included. I didn't know you've met him before the podcast. I've met so many people, and I had a dream last night that when I went over to Villa Park, I met them. I was meeting up with people to go for a drink, and we watched the game, and we met for a drink afterwards, and it was great. It was fantastic. And when I woke up this morning, it was kind of bittersweet, because number one, it's always good to wake up in the morning because that means you're alive. But the second part of it was, I was going, I don't know when I'm going to be able to do that. And for me personally, I know for you, you would have gone over an awful lot last year. But for me personally, when we bought the house, I stopped going over to Villa Park because of financial constraints. And I was now in a position to say, yeah, listen, I can start going back to Villa Park again. So it's about 2.5 years since I've gone to Villa Park. And when I woke up this morning, I was like, it's been cruelly wrestled away from me again. And I would love to go over and meet all the wonderful people that chat to me on a daily basis, almost on Twitter and stuff like that. And, you know, my heart kind of did sink this morning as I was taking the dog for a walk, and I was thinking about it, and I said, I'd just love to know if there was an end point to this, when we could say, yes, we're all 40,000 of us are back in Villa Park.
We're back on this date where we can all meet together, have fun,
yeah,
give her a hug and buy each other a beer. And
Yeah, exactly.
And have that release that we all crave. And that's the hard part, I think. This week, I don't know if it's something about Liverpool, because so many I don't know whether our UK listeners will get this, but Ireland is full of Liverpool and Man United fans. So for us, this is our big game where we like to have the bragging rights for a couple of weeks after it. And it was always a game for me that I went to, even going back to the 90s, and you know, I even went to Anfield. It was the 10th anniversary of Hillsborough. Jesus, Sean Dundee was playing for Liverpool that day.
Yeah.
It was a really, really vivid memories of Liverpool games in particular, beating them at Villa Park when Stan Collymore was sent off, you know, and even up to modern day of beating them at Wembley in the FA Cup semi-final and ruining Stevie G's birthday party. All of these things. And this week, for some reason, it has to be somewhere in the background that's happened, even to the extent that I was flicking through the Villa website during the week, and I actually bought the scarf from the Carabao Cup final because it's the last live game I was ever at. And you know, you're kind of thinking to yourself, when will it happen again? Obviously, if you're living within driving distance of Villa Park, you can apply for these tickets that will eventually come available. But I can't see anytime soon being able to do that. So, it's a strange week. That's I can tell you that's how I'm feeling about it. And to go and buy that scarf, that's obviously just playing in the back of my mind. It was on sale, and I just said, you know what, that's a memento I didn't have, so I bought it.
Yeah, and it's mad that, you know, we didn't actually talk about this before, and this is actually just after coming up in conversation on the podcast, and it is mad that, and I'm sure loads of other people are talking about it, and, you know, I was talking to Kieran O'Connor and the B6 Ben's father there on Twitter, and he was saying that, you know, that they just want to get back into Villa Park again. That was such a big part of their lives, you know. Yeah. And to go to Villa Park with his son, and I know you go with Stephen and stuff like that, and I don't have any kids just yet, but God willing, when I do, I'll be able to take them to Villa Park, and you know, it'll become that pilgrimage that everybody has. For me, it's a case of, yeah, love to go watch a win, maybe have a multiple of 10 numbers of points on my trip over to Birmingham and see what way it goes. But, you know, a lot of families will rely on that for bonding time and for time together. And I know I might be coming across as being maybe a bit sappy about the whole thing or whatever, but it's true, you know, the family aspect of going to matches and stuff like that. I'm not going to say it's going to be lost. It's going to come back. It absolutely will. It's human nature. But the concerted amount of time that it's going on is probably like a silent thing or something that we probably don't even know that's happening. It is probably playing on the back of the minds, but it's something. Yeah, it's mad that came up, because the first point that we had here was actually looking backwards, I suppose, into the past as well. And you mentioned a couple of Liverpool games there, and today is actually the anniversary of Dalian Atkinson's goal. The goal, yeah, umbrella man, came onto the field. But no, it was a fantastic goal, and RIP to Dalian Atkinson as well, and hopefully his family gets some sort of peace and closure over the coming months, you know, in that. But I take it you weren't at that game, Paddy, or were you?
I wasn't at that one, no.
You were at the Wimbledon 5-0 game, or wasn't it?
I was at a 7-1 game.
7-1 game, sorry, Jesus,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. That would have been the year before, I reckon.
I'd say it was the year after Dalian Atkinson scored. I'd say that could be 94 or 5 to 7-1.
Yeah, it was around the time of the violence at Lansdowne Road. That game sticks in my mind. And it was February, because the Wimbledon fans, the small amount of them, did the conga through the north stand with no top down. I remember we were all wrapped up, you know, as a morning, even colder than this morning, all up in jackets and scarves and woolly hats, and they were all with their tops off. So I suppose you have to make the most of a bad situation. And, you know, I don't mean to sound somber, you know, it's just one of those things. It's kind of like the elephant in the room. Everyone's, you know, not talking about it. So, but look, it's changed everything for me, for you, for everybody. But, you know, it's great that, like, we've made new friends, and I'm getting to watch the games on a weekly basis with good friends, you know, in the Munster Lions, you know, going into our local pub and just having a chat about Villa, and that's our new release, you know, to be able to do that. And still, you know, my son comes with me. You met him Monday night there at Etigan's in Limerick, and you know, it's nice to get to know new people in a different way as well. So
100%.
Look, we'll soldier through it. It won't be today or tomorrow, but you know, I'm hoping by this time next year we'll be looking at getting back into a stadium, as in how a stadium should be, full, to packed to the rafters and the whole den singing. And you know, I think it's just something we have to strive for now and look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. And it's out of our hands, but I suppose maybe recent events and the quote unquote leader of the free world after succumbing to the virus himself, and look, no matter, don't want anybody to die of the virus at all, but you know, maybe this might shake up a couple of people who've been, maybe I won't say not taking it as seriously, but look, I won't get into it. It's not a political podcast, and I'm certainly not a political guy myself. But you guys know what I mean, that if it can happen to Donald, it can happen to anybody, considering he's one of the most guarded men in the whole entire planet, even though maybe he didn't take the right precautions. But look, as I say, that's for somebody else to speak about. I'm not qualified to speak about anything like that. But look, as I say, the quicker we can get rid of this virus and get back into social interaction, the better, I suppose. Speaking of social interaction, I'm going to come to this actually just before I go to the Liverpool discussion, Paddy, and I was going to leave this until the end, but I think I'm going to come to it because maybe it does come on from social interaction, the lack of social interaction, maybe the lack of empathy and stuff like that. But recently, over the last day or so, we've seen the number of Aston Villa players have taken down their Instagram handles, they've taken down their Twitter handles and stuff like that. And I wanted to just bring it up very briefly because I can't help but think that, you know, that I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite and say, oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't give any abuse to players online. I don't at players, I don't do anything like that, but I can't help but think potentially that I could be complicit when the fact that you do have a podcast that goes out to, you know, let's say 1,000 listeners and so on like that, that maybe, and you're saying that El Ghazi is headless, or that I particularly would be frustrated about him at a certain period of time. Mm. You know, I suppose maybe I myself should think about the way I speak about players and maybe not go two-footed in them as well, but it can be difficult. But I suppose the biggest thing to take from it for me was that I don't think I've ever in my life added a player on Twitter or anything like that, or Instagram to basically say to him and to ruin his day to say, you're shit and I don't know how you're playing for Villa. That's not something I would do, but I do definitely want to be a small bit more conscious in future. And I will say that it's 100% my right to be fickle. There are days I'll turn around and I'll say that they're absolutely brilliant as well, you know, but I suppose sometimes that, you know, you do have to realise that, me personally anyway, I know that I do have to realise that there's times whereby, I'm not saying that Amar Ghazi or Henry Lansbury listens to the podcast. They might. I don't know. But, you know, it's something that I just want to be conscious of, instead of going, this guy's shit, I hope he never plays for Villa again. I might feel that. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's gone out there to put in his best shift ever. And it's his career that we're playing with. And if someone came along to me and said, you're shit at doing your job, at people management, you know, I would be upset, you know, about that. And I just, yeah, look, it's just something I wanted to bring up in the light of it happening so recently and it being topical.
A lot of people, I don't know about you, but a lot of people message me and say that they enjoy listening to us because we're largely positive, you know, about Villa and about players. I think if we came on and said, oh, everyone was brilliant today, let's talk about the weather, nobody's going to listen. So
yeah, that's true.
You do have to have a little bit of negativity in there, and we don't mean it in a negative.
Honesty, I would say, for most, more honesty, so than negativity. Yeah, yeah, it's heat of the moment honesty, I suppose, because like if we didn't sell any player this year, I wouldn't be disappointed. I think I've said it a million and one times. We need to keep a squad, and Dean Smith came out and said we can't stockpile players, and I understand that, but we need to keep a squad. So like, I don't particularly want to see El Ghazi go. Don't particularly want to see Lansbury go if he can up his game. But if there's better players that come in their place, that's basically it. And I think that we can afford better players and we can attract better players. And that's not a negative thing to say. Like, I'm not telling El Ghazi to curl up and fucking die like some people might say to him on Twitter, you know.
No, there's absolutely no need for talk like that.
No.
Part of it being so vehement at the moment could possibly be what we just spoke about, that, you know, people go to Villa Park and they let all these shouts and roars.
This is it.
And they have that release. That release is now their whatever many characters is on Twitter these days. You know,
140.
Whatever it is. Yeah. So they release that way, you know, when they've had a few drinks after a game, which is totally wrong. Like, totally wrong. And, you know, this, it all comes back to education. You know, I'm not saying I haven't done it. I've probably added somebody at some stage since Twitter began. Probably Robbie Savage or someone like that. But
he's okay. He's fair game.
it's just, you know, heat of the moment, you do it, but just, you know, think about it. As I say to my 15-year-old son, if you wouldn't like your granny to read it, don't put it on bloody Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And you know, people learn from their mistakes too. But, you know, it is kind of worrying when you see players, you know, deleting their accounts because they're obviously being absolutely barraged with abuse. And it's wrong. It's wrong at so many levels. Like, if we're on here, we're generally talking about how the performance has been in that game or in general over the last few games when we're talking about players. Like, I personally gave Trezeguet a hard time for long periods of last season, and now I would actually be very disappointed if Trezeguet left because he's coming into his own. So, you know, it swings and roundabouts. We're not here to abuse people. We're here to just, you know, speak our mind and talk about how Villa are doing and whatever. And, you know, I hope people don't think that we're being hypocritical here, but that...
Yeah. That's actually a good point there, Paddy, as well. Is like, I know the both of us don't want this to come across preachy. I think what we're doing is we're both kind of discussing it with each other about, you know, what are, I suppose, what way we want to kind of portray our frustrations. Like, you know, I don't think I'm going to take to Twitter and do that. And I think that's okay to say that. But, you know, as you mentioned, you hit a good, very good point there that it's probably the one way that people get their frustration out. Whereas before, you could roar it in the stadium and you got it off your chest. And that's a really important thing to do, is get it off your chest. But I just, I don't know where is the right way and the wrong way to do it. You know, I suppose, and as I say, we're not kind of preaching to people telling you what to do. I think the two of us are both having kind of a discussion about what way we want to kind of do it ourselves, considering the fact that we, you know, we do have a podcast and we want to kind of make it a way that both of us are comfortable about. This is almost like a pre-production meeting that we're having live on air right here before.
and you know what? Sometimes that's the best way to do it because you know, we're being totally honest with ourselves and with the guys who are listening to us.
And it's all recorded. We're on record now, Paddy, so we can't go back in it. although I did say it's my right to be fickle as a Villa fan. but you mentioned a good thing there. That is a good one. You mentioned that would you put something on Twitter that you wouldn't want your granny to read? I've always been brought up with... I've always been brought up in my day job with managing people and stuff like that. I've always been told, don't put anything in writing that you wouldn't like to hear read out in court to you. That always rings a bell with me too. There's some things on Twitter actually I definitely wouldn't like read back to me in court. But they haven't been abusive. They've been more just stupid sounding things I've put on Twitter, worse than anything abusive. But that brings us on, I suppose. Yeah, we can't draw a line under that. I think it's good to kind of have the open discussion on it and kind of see where we come down on it, because it's kind of understandable in one way that people need to get the frustration off their chest. It's just I don't know how people would do it in the context of now. You know, when people don't have that initial venting session, 42,000 people saying it all at the same time and getting it off their chest. I don't know, but you know, at the end of the day, footballers are people too, and we got to find the common or the medium or the proper, I suppose, medium of doing it. And I don't have the answers to that, I suppose, for everybody, but I think for myself, I'm going to be a bit more mindful of it in future. But brings us to Liverpool at the weekend, and obviously we're playing the champions, playing the most successful club in ever in the UK, debatably. Well, I don't think it's debatably. I think when you look at cups, that they absolutely are. Some might say that they're probably the third best team in Europe at the moment. Maybe the second best team. I'm not too sure. Maybe after Bayern Munich, it's going to be a tough one. Okay, it's going to be a tough one. They have a togetherness that I think that we strive for. I think, you know what, actually, I think that their togetherness is something that big clubs, I'm not saying we're not a big club, but big clubs, I think, can't buy. And that isn't just a kind of a trope or an often used phrase. They can't buy it. Man City cannot buy that team's togetherness. They can't buy what Klopp has done to gel that team together. PSG, they can't buy in that work ethic, that togetherness, that click of the team. Juventus can't buy it in. Teams high up, low down on the stratosphere of European football. You see Barcelona, a bit of meltdown at the moment. They probably had this kind of buy-in when Rijkaard and Guardiola were there, when players were younger, they'd all come up through Lamiesa together and everything like that. But this is a new phenomenon that Klopp has. Klopp had it at Dortmund as well. He had this indeterminable, intangible charisma and gravitas about him that got people together. And that is unpurchasable, even in this world of financial fair play. And you see it, the graphics that come up nearly every single Liverpool game about their net spend over the last 3 years and so on. And you just see it. And I think that's something that we as a team are actually really striving for, more so than getting in massive talent on the field. I think we're striving for right people, right place, click moments, and getting a group together that love each other. And you know what? I think we're getting there slowly but surely. I think we do have a core group of those. That's just something that popped into my mind there as well. But we are going to be playing against that Liverpool team, and a lot of my conversations around that Liverpool team are framed by that togetherness. But what do you think the biggest biggest reason for Liverpool's turnaround in the last 12 months or so is, Paddy? They were all conquering last year, they were unstoppable. And do you think that they can bring it into this coming year?
I'll admit it and say at the start of the season I didn't think so. I thought it would be hard to do it back to back, but having watched both themselves and Man City at this stage, I think they probably will go on and win it again this year. As you say, the togetherness there seems to be a huge thing, and you know, We're not too far behind on that togetherness. I know we've spoken about it before. It's quite obvious that there's great camaraderie within our bunch of players. And I think Klopp just has the right mix there. Obviously, I believe we have the right mix, but I think the talent, the gulf in talent is probably just, you know, way too much. But, you know, I do believe that when you get the right mix, it can really spur you on, even when the chips are down. You know, even you think back to the time they came back and beat Barcelona. Half of that was got to do with heart and half got to do with ability. They're a really good side. They've probably got, in my opinion, the two best attacking fullbacks in the world. And it's strange to say that, you know, one of them is English and Scottish, considering the talent that is available. I'm sure people will throw other alternatives in my direction. And I think that's what makes them that little bit better. They just offer something else that nobody else has. And then, you know, if you're pressuring them, if you're behind, they'll catch you on the break and they'll go and score a couple of goals and kill the game off, as we've seen many times over the last few years. Their strike force is second to none. Albeit, you know, the scary news that, you know, the Mane now tested positive for COVID-19, and the rest of the players have to have an emergency test today. So, you know, they've got two players in their squad with COVID-19. So it is a little bit worrying at this stage. And, you know, there's part of me says, you know, let football take second place here and maybe postpone the game. That would be obviously last resort, but hopefully technology and the timing that they can turn around a test now, that they can test everybody today and hopefully everybody will be safe tomorrow.
Yeah, I suppose that is the big news. Like, we're not going to see Thiago. We're not going to see Mane. Mane has tormented us year in, year out, for Liverpool. He was the reason we lost both games last year. He was the catalyst for the comeback, for the 2-1, and he was the catalyst for breaking us down in the second game as well. So I think that Dean Smith is going to be not happy that he's got coronavirus, because that speaks for itself. There's an obvious reason that he wouldn't be happy for that, but to not see him in the lineup. But then again, Liverpool have just gone out and spent 35 million on Diogo Jota as well. So, the rich get richer. Well,
the replacement is there anyway. So
I think it would be like for me, I think that, look, the replacement is going to be there. Will the fluidity of that line be as intact? I don't know. But then again, Diogo Jota has come in and I think he's definitely scored one goal, if not two goals, since he's came into that team. So he's definitely not missed the trick, and he's enjoying the new the freedom, I suppose, that team offers him as well. For me, I think not seeing Thiago in there is good as well, because I don't want to see our midfield chasing shadows for the whole game. We've gotten a foothold in games, in nearly every game that we've played this year. Obviously, we've played against lower league opposition in the Cup. We've played against 10 men against Sheffield United, and we played against a pretty lackluster Fulham team, who actually, I think, had more possession than us for most of the game against Fulham. But I don't want to see us chasing shadows against Liverpool. Obviously, it's inevitable we will do it at some stage. But I think with Thiago in there, it would have allowed them to be a bit more metronomic. And I use that word an awful lot, but he keeps things ticking over inside there. He's a damn good player. And the fact that they would spend that money on someone of his age, it's not really a Jurgen Klopp thing to do. But he is that piece for European football and to keep things moving over. And good teams, winning teams can do that. They can bring in a 29-year-old to complement the style of play. Now, without him playing, I still think there's one very unbelievably pivotal piece in that team that we need to attack. And we need to, I suppose, if you can show a bit of weakness in Fabinho, and I don't know how you do it. I don't have the answer on how to do it. And I think maybe Ross Barkley might be played as a 10 in this game, or play a bit further forward. And John McGinn might be played back a small bit more. But I think if we get into Fabinho, maybe stop him from receiving the ball, play the ball at him so that he can't retreat back in between Gomez and Van Dijk, and be that extra cushion for them for crosses and stuff. If we attack at him, it might force the two centre halves to come out a bit more. Obviously, you mentioned that their two full backs will bomb on an attack. So if we can move out their centre halves again, you see the way Leeds got at Liverpool. There was a lot of long balls. There was a lot of playing against that high line. And if we can make that line even higher by attacking against Fabinho and maybe delayed runs in behind them, we might get some luck against this team. But it's really going to be a who scores more goals. And look, Jesus, that sounds like the most stupid comment anyone's ever made, but you're not going to be able to defend a nil all against this team. No. You're going to have to Kevin Keegan and score more goals than the other team. And I'm still not, I still don't know how to do it. And obviously, Premier League managers getting paid millions a year don't know how to do it. Otherwise, they would have been dethroned at some stage last year. But it's going to be a really interesting battle. I think we're in a better place. I think the players that we have, and I do fully expect Ross Barkley to play. I expect him to play probably to start, to be honest with you, at the weekend. But it's going to be a slog, and I really have no idea what way it's going to go at all.
But I have a different slant on it. I don't think Barkley will start. I think Dean Smith, if you look back through what he's done throughout the years, if a team goes and gets a great result or is on a winning run, he doesn't change it. So I think we could see Ross Barkley on the bench. That's just my opinion. I don't think we'll see Traore either. I think Trezeguet will be given opportunity to prove that, he's the player that he has been for the last few weeks, for sure. with regards to, you know, the helter-skelter that Leeds went for, I think we'll be a lot more conservative in our play. I don't think there'll be the high pressing and you know, absolute. it was carnage for the first 45 minutes, like the teams going at each other. I can't see us doing that. I think we'll let them have the ball early on, let them have it in their own half, and maybe try and get something on the break. But it's one of those games where you're going in more in hope than expectation. I know last week I called it a free hit, and Dean Smith apparently during the week said he doesn't like people calling it a free hit. But
he's talking about you.
He's talking about me, yeah. You know, and no matter what he says, they're going out to win every game. And that's the kind of stuff you want to hear from your manager. You know, me calling it a free hit is just all those years of hurt. That's expecting it, you know, to be a defeat, you know, and that's part and parcel of being a Villa fan. You know, since the 90s and the period at the end of the noughties, we just haven't been that kind of team that you go out and you think, oh, we're going to have a hop off Liverpool today. So hopefully those days are back again, and you know, he can be true to his word and we'll have a good go off them tomorrow. It remains to be seen how we get at them, but you know, if Leeds can go and score three goals against them, there's no reason why we can't go and have belief in ourselves.
Yeah, it's my biggest worry about this whole game is that we're coming into this game on the back of wins against Sheffield United of 10 men and a very abject Fulham team, and it's not my job. Like, as I say, I'm super optimistic. I think we can come away from this game with a draw. I'd love it if we can come away with a win. I certainly don't see us coming away with our pants pulled down in this game. But it will be the barometer. I don't see it, as you said, as a free hit. I see it as a litmus test about where we actually are. And when I look down through both teams, I kind of look at it and I say, we're in a pretty good spot in comparison to last year when we played them twice. And all we've done really, when you look at the team that's there, is add a more mobile striker, a goalkeeper and a right back, which was questionable whether we even needed a right back. But they've been pivotal additions to shore up the obvious plus points of this team, which is attacking down the left-hand side and our two centre-halves. So I'm much more confident in our two centre-halves this year. I know to play against Liverpool, both of them are energetic. Both of our centre-halves are athletic. They're both very mobile. And I think that they can get around there. And I think Matty Cash can get around. And I think now that Douglas Luiz is in there as well, I'm less daunted by the frontal movement of this Liverpool team. And, you know, even bringing in Diego Jota in there as well, it'll be, he's very much, I won't say he's a like for like, because Sadio Mane, you know, in a lot of people's mind, is up there in the top five player in the world at the moment. Mm. But Diego Jota is still a very, very able player. And gosh, I'd love him in our team. I think we can match up better against them this time. I think I would be putting money on Villa win or draw, you know, that double chance market. I think that we have a good chance of drawing this game. I think we have a slim chance of winning it, but I certainly don't see us getting absolutely eviscerated in this game. And for me, that's good progress, because I think we'll come out of this with a lot of kudos regardless, and I think we'll come out with a decent result.
I hope you're right.
I hope I am too.
I know Jordan Henderson, who has been, you know, very vital to the team, he's still not 100% either, so he might not play. So they are a little bit depleted. So if there was such a thing as a good time to go at them, maybe that's now. I don't think Milner is fully fit either. So that's four decent players taken out of. If we took four decent players out of our team, we'd be in trouble. So fingers crossed that can help us. Because obviously Milner may replace Henderson, who would have replaced Thiago Alcantara as well. So they're going to have that bit of problem in midfield. But, you know,
I think Milner might have played against that. I think Milner might have played against Arsenal during the week, but I imagine they just bring in Naby Keita, another £50 million player in and around that. You know, good player in his own right. They actually, you know what? During the week, I look back at highlights of their game against Arsenal, and they did play a hodgepodge side, much like ourselves. But Marco Grujic anchored that midfield, and I don't want to put my hands up and say that I was right, because it's only a small sample set, but Jesus, the performance he gave in that anchoring midfield role is exactly what I want to come in. And I know we're probably not going to sign another midfielder, but he was one of the players that I looked at. He was playing with Hertha Berlin last year as well, for the last 2 years, and his game has really come on. He's highly thought of, and I would have loved him at Aston Villa, and I know we were linked to him for about eight or 10 million, and I'd still like to bring him in. You can never have too many quality midfielders, and he gave a good account of himself against Arsenal in that game as well, and I hope that Villa bring in somebody like him at some stage to cover for Douglas Luiz, but I probably won't get to see it in this window. But yeah, it was just good to bring that up, what Marco Grujic, because he has been a man that Liverpool fans kind of have forgotten about since he was with Hertha Berlin. If I was to tie you to a result, Paddy, what would you say?
I'm going to go for a nil-all draw.
I think I spent a good portion of the opening part of this saying that we will definitely concede goals and we will score goals against them. Okay.
I reckon it's going to be low scoring, which means it's probably going to be 5-4.
Yeah. I'm thinking like history would dictate that it would be 2-1 to Liverpool, and that's probably the smart bet to put on something along those lines. But I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I think both teams are going to score. I think we have the capability to go ultra defensive a lot better this year if we need to. I know we haven't seen it yet, but I think we have that capability. We saw it against Chelsea last year, which was pretty good, and the 5-sub rule killed us in that game. But that isn't there anymore. I think that we have the opportunity to go there if we need to. But I think we will take this game to Liverpool. I think we will have periods of time where we get over the top. But I think sad and all, or crazy and all as it sounds, I think Van Dijk and Gomez might suit, and Ollie Watkins and the high line that they play with might suit with Ollie Watkins to get in at them, or to get behind the two fullbacks out in a wide position that Ollie Watkins is very used to playing in. And hopefully we see a goal from him, to open up his Premier League account. But
yeah,
it's good. It's a prime time game Sunday night. It's a prime time game. It'd be a good time to show what we're made of. Show the changes that Dean Smith has made. And as you mentioned, if Ross Barkley and Traore don't start and they're on the bench, well, they're two options we didn't have last year in any of these games to bring on. And they're two bloody good options as well. So there is a lot of optimism going into this game. And by no means are we a dead cert to lose this game. I think we should be able to put it up to Liverpool. And look, it's a battle of the undefeated teams. As I say, we're undefeated until we're defeated, and that's my thought process, is that we come out of this game without losing again, and it would be a real feather in our caps.
I think so. We're overdue a big win as well, so hopefully tomorrow will be it. It'll be tight. I reckon it'll be tight for an hour, and then it'll start to open up and start to be, just a bit of tiredness in the legs. It'll start to open up, and hopefully we can, if we win, I will be absolutely over the moon. It's just the Arsenal was probably the only top six team we've beaten.
It was, yeah.
Recent times, do you call them a top six? Did they finish? They did in the end, didn't they?
Indeed.
Six at the time.
They drew Dundalk in the UEFA Cup. So Dundalk and AC, did they draw AC Milan as well? I think there's some rapid, tough group there, I think.
Not AC Milan, no. AC Milan got Celtic.
That's the other one. I knew I had something to bring up about AC Milan when I was talking to you. Arsenal were the only top 16 that we beat, yeah.
Yeah, so... you know, we're due another big performance against a top six team, and I really hope tomorrow is it. I won't be over celebrating if we go 1-0 up. The ghosts of last year's home game will be haunting me for a very long time.
Yeah.
In the position we were in with going into injury time, it was absolutely heartbreaking. So, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, when we look back on this game, that it'll be a positive. If I think a draw would be a positive, and I think as much as Dean Smith wants to go and win the game, I think he'd snap your hand off for it now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like at this time of the year, keep the feel good factor going, and a draw would certainly do that as well. As you say, yeah, we're all hoping for a win. I think the team is well capable of winning, but you know, a draw I think is probably a good setup for Aston Villa for this game, especially against the champions, the all conquering champions of last year. Good stuff. Thanks very much, Paddy. As I said, we got through a bit of everything in that. We did a bit of
we did
a bit of self counselling, a bit of reminiscing, a bit of discussing, a bit of psychotherapy, discussing my dreams and everything. We did a lot on that podcast, and we managed to talk a small bit about football as well, which was good. But yeah, as I said, thanks to everybody for all the kind words over the last week or two, or should I say since last August when we set up the podcast. It's been it's amazing to hear from everybody, and you know, as I said at the start, there will be days we will get back to Villa Park and I'll be able to meet people in 3D, as I call it. I'll be able to meet them, shake hands, do the fist bumps, do the elbow bumps. Even if we're still doing that, I'll take that, as long as we're able to get into confines with people again and actually get to meet these people physically, and you know, thank them face to face for everything that they've all the kind words and everything that they've done for the podcast as well. But you can follow Paddy on at Villa Paddy. You can follow the podcast here on at Mac for the Love Of. Thanks everybody, as I say, for listening. It's going to be a good weekend. We get to sit back and watch all the football before Sunday night, and we're once again on primetime TV against the champions of last year, and I've no doubt that this team are going to come to the moment and going to bring their A game, and we're going to see a nice performance against Liverpool. And with that in mind, everybody, all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa. Sports Social Podcast Network.